A ravine in my parents' place is where all the old car bodies are. The oldest is a 1936 Chevy, followed by a 1939 that was once the green of a canned bean. Neither has a single part or surface that isn't broken, crumpled, or seized with rust. There's a gray 1941 Plymouth Special Deluxe four-door sedan with suicide doors, turned on its back and bent in half. It reminded me of a stranded turtle, and I made believe it had died there, unable to right itself. An early 50s Dodge convertible, mottled pink and white, and speckled with brown dots of rust, is oriented the same way, but bent a little more severely at the back of the doors, and its windshield, if it exists at all, is completely buried in the dirt. There's a 52 Nash Statesman Airflight, also overturned. None of them have engines, frames, windows, or seats. They're just shells, like shells washed up on a beach, carrying only the form of what once was. These are the bones. The rest was scavenged, I suppose. The axles and frames to build trailers, the engines used to power homemade agricultural pumps. This place, now among trees, was my retreat. This is where I'd run away from what I couldn't identify or describe when I was a teenager. It was a place to be alone. In my imagination, these cars were like me, and in my imagination, I restored these old cars. This was the same imagination that years before was afraid of encountering a Bigfoot in the Michigan woods. And it was the imagination that played when I was a boy in a rock pile. My boyhood home in Michigan was a series of swamps, steep wooded hills, brush, and a few clearings. At various places on the property, there were piles of rounded rocks of some different shapes, but all the size of a sports ball or another one. My dad told me that they were there because someone years ago had wanted to plow a field, but had to remove all of the rocks first. I understood that, because my dad planted a garden, and he plowed it with a garden tractor built in 1936 that shook and popped and rattled about. It had a plow that spun like a hand beater in the soil, but it required clear soil to work. If a rock got caught in the plow blades, it could jam it and stop. So my job was to go through the garden every year before he plowed and pick up all the rocks. I never understood why this job had to be done again every year. It seemed to me that when rocks were removed, they should just stay gone, since they didn't grow from seeds. But I wasn't a geologist, just a small boy, and didn't trouble myself much with the question. The rock piles were made of much bigger rocks than I'd found in the garden. I'd learned someplace that things made of rock were held together by keystones, and that if you could find and remove the keystone, the whole structure would collapse. This was an intriguing idea for me, because my parents never bought us firecrackers or any other explosives, so I didn't have the outlet for my destructive drive that many boys my age had. So I would go to the rock pile and pull out rocks, hoping to find the keystone that would cause a cascade of them tumbling down and flatten the pile. I pulled out a lot of rock, but never could get more than one or two to follow the one I pulled. I know now the problem with my childhood game. Keystones are the blocks at the very top of the arch that both sides lean against. A stone arch stands because the rocks on each side of the keystone press against it with equal strength. With no keystone, the sides of the arch fall inward and collapse. They collapse into a pile of stones. So I realize now that I was looking for a keystone in exactly the place I would never find one. Had there been one, it would not have been a pile of stones. When we feel like wreckage, we're comfortable among wreckage and go there to retreat. But it is the place we are least likely to find what will restore us. We must go not to the place where wreckage goes to rot away, but to the place where wreckage is restored. It is the keystone of the arch of the cathedral on which we can lean and be supported. I think of this story when I read, "The stone the builders have rejected has become the cornerstone."